What's up, you freaks? Welcome back to a Rabbit Hole Recap.
I'm fucking pumped.
I'm pumped, too. Been a long week for me, particularly. Recorded 4 podcasts last week, almost one every night, and drank for every one of them. So right now, I think my wife thinks I might be an alcoholic. So I am withholding from alcohol consumption on this recording just to prove that I have the wherewithal and the mental fortitude to thwart off the booze.
The official reason is Marty said that he's not going to drink on the pod until McAllen answers our DM about the sponsorship.
That's true. I'm striking. And until McAllen responds to us, I will not be drinking. And I think this is a grave disservice to you freaks out there. So you better get loud on Twitter in McAllen's face.
Yeah, they can at least say no. They haven't even said no.
I will continue drinking if they at least say no. McAllen, I know you can hear this. I know you listen to every one of these podcasts.
The big time listeners of the pod.
Respond to the DM. And that was this week's free ad.
I'm drinking this episode. Yeah. Because what is it, 12 episodes now? Is it the 12th?
I think this might be the 12th. Drinking with Callum. I think you're
stretching. I'm not going to stop now.
I think you're stretching an excuse to drink. Yeah, Matt's drinking alone like a degenerate. I'll try to keep him in check on this recording. But we got a lot to talk about. A lot of heated topics. The first of which, we're going to start in the geopolitical realm. In China, where it's becoming more and more apparent that their social credit system is very dystopian. And somebody today on Twitter, an American, I believe, released a video of a recording on a train. And it's basically like, obey the law or your social credit score will go down. You won't be able to travel anymore. In a very nice tone, though.
It was a very friendly announcement.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the Black Mirror episode that everyone's watched.
Yeah.
They rank you by all. It was like if you act disorderly on the train, like we'll punish you on our social. They have a nationwide social credit system.
Yeah. Instead of just alienating Uber drivers and giving them social scores every time you interact with them, this takes it to the next level and. Like that Black Mirror episode, personal interactions can get scored in the social credit system now.
I think this is, you know, this is like the perfect example. It gives you a taste of what we have to look forward to with these modern day surveillance states because, you know, technology now gives them capabilities that dictators in the past would just fucking kill for. Like this would be amazing for them. And China's at the forefront of that. You know, they're using technology to control their people. If you talk bad about the government through WeChat, which is like one of the only chats you can use there, they'll ding your social credit score. Maybe you can't get a job now. Maybe you can't, you know, take out a loan. It's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, so that's one side. To play devil's advocate here, just for the sake of playing devil's advocate, I saw somebody saying on Twitter that this has, I think it was Bitcoin Erlog said that
it was John.
John Carvalho. Carvalho? Is that his name? Carvalho?
Carvalho, I think. Carvalho. But I suck at pronunciations in general.
Big fan of him and his interview style.
And his porn site.
And his porn site, exotica.tv, I think, or XT. I don't know what it is. But he pointed out that the social credit system is allowing peasants a nice base from which they can actually build a social credit and climb the economic ladder in China, which has historically been not very easy for this class of citizen.
But then he expanded on that. He said he heard it from a rich Chinese woman, I think in Paris. And you know, it's like the perfect, they always do that. You know, when you do a policy that fucks over your citizens, the easiest way to implement it is to convince them that it's in their own best interest. And if you convince the majority, then when it's too late, then there's nothing they can do about it at that point.
Yeah. So it's weird seeing that play out in China in real life. People have been warning about it. I believe George Orwell, since he published 1984, it's been in the public space for decades now. It's something that's always been on people's minds, but yet it unravels before us. Needless to say.
Yeah, talking about Orwell, I mean, they are also at the forefront of surveillance cameras, face tracking.
Yeah, CCTV.
As you're walking around, they pick up your face. They know this. If you litter a little bit, they ding your credit score.
If you jaywalk.
Yeah, if you're in a protest, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
I know. The thing I was thinking about a couple months ago was like, if you go to China and you're a known Bitcoin personality and they know what your face looks like because it's your Twitter profile or whatever, or your LinkedIn, then when the second you walk in the airport and like you get pulled up on a face scanner, like they probably have like a little, if they don't yet, they'll like have a box that says like probably owns Bitcoin.
And then it'll be like, hey, we're going to lock you up till you give us your Bitcoin.
Yeah, so it's a real shame because like I haven't been to China yet and I'd love to go, but it's a little bit sketchy situation there.
Not going to lie, not on the top of my list to travel to. I've heard great things about it, but still not really appealing.
Well, my dad was born in Hong Kong, so that'd be kind of badass.
Interesting. Interesting. Interesting backstory there. Learn a little something new about Matt Odell every week.
There you go.
But yeah, to parallel this story with something that's going on here in the States, which is our second topic, Gab.com, a company that has caused a lot of controversy in its short lifespan, is in the news now because their hosting services are getting pulled out from under them. I believe GoDaddy is the next hosting service, I believe.
Well, no, so GoDaddy is the domain registrar.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they registered their domain through, and then they have a separate hosting provider that's like an AWS competitor, that because AWS already wouldn't do business with them, they cut them. And then the payments side, they had to think both PayPal and Stripe block them. They can't find a payment provider. So I mean, it's just like it's become. So they're basically, they position themselves as like the censorship resistant
Twitter,
free speech Twitter clone. It's like almost an exact replica of Twitter, but pretty much filled with people that were blocked on Twitter or their accounts were locked. And the main issue with that is they're still a centralized company, so they still not only have the power to block accounts, which they say they do in cases of child porn, they make a big point about saying that, but they're also a target for governments, and governments don't always have to go after you directly. In this case, they go after everyone you do business with.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just a scary realization that maybe we're not as free as we think we are, you know. Anybody can just cut these platforms. Like, listen, I'm not a big fan of people that are posting content on Gab, but you can choose to ignore it.
I mean, this guy, it was because of the recent synagogue shooting.
Yeah.
And this guy, he was posting on Twitter. He was posting on the other sites as well. It's really hard to police this stuff.
Yeah. Is it possible? Is it really hard? Like, is it even possible and advantageous to pursue? Or should we just accept the fact that the shit's going to happen and adjust our lifestyles otherwise?
Well, what I want to see is I want to see a future with platforms that you just don't even have the ability to block those accounts. So, you know, we have Mastodon. It's not perfect, but it's like a federated version, open source version of Twitter, where there's no centralized provider of the service. And so if you can't block people, then it throws all morals out of the equation. There can still be moderation. You have the user moderate on his side with tools, or you could even like give certain moderators privileges, and then you could follow their list of moderation rules or something. So there's like competition among who is moderating the content. And then, you know, if people post illegal things or post things that incite violence or whatever, then you just do good old fashioned police work and you deal with them. But like the actual platforms, like if the key is that these platforms should be built in a way that no one has power. No one has central power over them. And then as long as that's the only way to really protect speech, because if there is central power, then someone's going to abuse it. It'll always be abused.
Yeah. So this is just an instance of this reality being pushed to the forefront in our world right now. And think about what's happening in China. And this might be Excuse me. Something caught my throat there. This might be a step in the direction that China is going in for the U.S.
This is why we all do this. You know, the only way to stop powerful people from continuing to expand that power and maintain that power is to use technology and to use it as a way, as the ultimate, its ultimate check on power.
Yeah, now it's getting... It's a very heavy subject because obviously what happened over the weekend was terrible and tragic and monstrous. But it is being politicized now. Like, Howard Dean came out and said Gab should be tried as accomplice to murder and synagogue slayings. There's people that have been ISIS terrorists that have posted on Twitter. There's like, should Twitter be held accountable for that? Like, you open a very slippery slope when you create these witch hunts.
Yeah, and then you can take it to like the altcoin world, right? You know, what happens if there's like an Augur kill contract, you know, and someone dies, and then they go after Augur, or they go after Ethereum even.
Yeah.
And no one's saying like that's the rational decision that they should do that, but like you should plan to make sure they can't do that.
Yeah. So having a lot of your nodes run through on Fuhrer is probably not a good plan in case that happens. All right, that's enough of that topic. Dystopian future, just be aware of it, you know. What do we got next? Ooh, this is a good one. Our boy Lawmaster put out an interesting piece last week. He dove into the volume on local bitcoins by country, converted everything in the US dollar, all the volumes into US dollar denominations, to give a cleaner picture, because CoinDance has everything in their local currencies or Bitcoin. Lawmaster.
And the charts are really pretty.
Yeah, and the charts are really pretty. So Lawmaster did the dirty work and basically found that most local Bitcoin volume is coming from Russia and by a large margin, and then behind it in second is Venezuela. So we see these areas where Bitcoin probably has... a more pertinent use case in the form of capital, securing your capital.
Yeah, authoritative governments, shitty economies.
Yeah, leading the way, which in my opinion is very promising, which Bitcoin is helping these people.
Yeah, it goes directly against, you know, the Krugmans of the world who say it has no use case by people in collapsing countries.
Yeah, and another interesting thing about this is like this data is only the tip of the iceberg, because especially the way these relationships on exchanges like local Bitcoins work out, once you do a couple transactions with somebody you trust, I mean, word on the street is, I've never really dove this too deep into local Bitcoins.
Yeah, you don't want to pay the commission anymore.
Yeah,
it's so the same thing if you do a repeat Airbnb. You're not going to pay Airbnb the second time. You're going to tell the guy, I'm going to come back in April.
Yeah, exactly. And so a lot... That volume is just surface layer. There's a lot of unreported volume that's definitely going on as these relationships are built on these P2P exchanges.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's... And Venezuela is at all-time high volume right now. I think, is Russia at all-time high?
I do not know for sure. I can look into that. But I want to say one thing with Venezuela in particular. I'm actually happy... you refresh my memory on that, or
you're welcome.
You saying that refresh my memory. Last week I wrote about it in the Bent. Somebody had isolated Venezuelan local Bitcoin volumes only and did the U.S. dollars a few days before Lawmaster came out with his more comprehensive coverage. And so I wrote about it in the Bent. And Eduardo Medina from Democracy Earth, born Venezuelan as well. He didn't warn me, just said, hey, take into consideration that a lot of that volume is also corrupt politicians cleaning dirty money as well.
No, I mean, that's completely fine. That's
yeah.
A key target market of Bitcoin is dictators and corrupt politicians. And the more corrupt politicians that get on board, the more corrupt governments that will get on board, and the value prop will continue to go up. It's part of the beautiful cycle that is Bitcoin.
Yeah, but it's a harsh reality.
But there's also people that, you know, it helps. And even if it helps like three people, it's worth it. And it helps way more than three people.
Yeah.
I mean, last week I gave a donation to Bitcoin Venezuela. I went through in like 3 minutes. No one took any fees. I'm not sure. I may or may not have given a donation to Bitcoin Venezuela. But I'm pretty sure you can't do it through PayPal or anything like that because of sanctions.
Yeah. Feds listening to this, Matt did not do that. Yeah, so that's happening. At least the P2P exchange volume is growing in places where Bitcoin has a very, very pertinent use case.
I'm looking at it now. Russia isn't at all-time high. Only Venezuela is at all-time high right now, measured in USD.
Okay.
Oh, there's one other. Colombia. Venezuela and Colombia are both all-time high.
Interesting.
Russia peaked during the peak.
Yeah. Sort of unrelated, but just wanted to bring this up. Have you been following the Brazilian election at all?
Oh, yeah, he won. Bolsonaro? How do you pronounce his name?
I'm not even going to attempt it, but the far right. A hard right, bombastic politician won in a landslide there, very similar to Trump, it seems. And it's interesting, the polarization and the rise of populism and nationalistic tendencies in the world. It's a continuing trend. And
it's interesting that it seems to be happening everywhere at once.
Right? You know? And people try to blame Trump for it, but he's really a symptom of this underlying...
Right, he took advantage of it.
Exactly. And as did this Brazilian politician, it would seem from an outsider's perspective, very, very rudimentary and high-level understanding as an outsider.
Yeah, I mean, we had some big ones before Trump, right? But I mean, Brexit was before Trump, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Italy had
a referendum.
Greece had some shit going
Spain's
on.
Spain's been talking about the Catalan referendum for
a
while.
So you had like the fringes happen, and then, you know, London, U.S.
Yeah. Now
you got Philippines. What's his name? Duterte or whatever.
Duarte.
I suck at pronunciations.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I probably butchered that.
Yeah.
But no, it's
happening all over the place.
Another rising trend to keep your eyes peeled for.
People are upset. People are angry. And if you're not angry, like, why the fuck aren't you? You know? Like, people have been given a raw deal. And it, like, doesn't matter where you are on, like, the political spectrum. Like, the wealthy have been basically robbing the poor.
Yeah, and we would argue via inflation by having access to the spigot of money creation and an unfair advantage to print money out of thin air for interest.
Yeah, and if you're just in many countries around the world, you could just get your money fucking seized at any moment too.
Yeah. So that is, I mean, this is what I expounded upon with Justin Moon on the podcast on Friday when we got pretty tanked up. We started waxing poetic, like Bitcoin is a currency for the common man. You can save your money throughout time without having to have an information asymmetry in the form of knowing what stocks, what bonds, what mutual funds to put your money in. You just have a simple tool which you know is deflationary by nature, and you'll preserve your wealth over time.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about this the other day. You know, they were like, I'm not a finance person. So I can't understand Bitcoin. I'm never going to understand Bitcoin. I was like, Bitcoin's perfect for people like you because you don't have to worry about all this complicated managing your money. You know you have a solid way of storing and growing your wealth over time, and you could just focus on all the things you like focusing about because you know your wealth is good.
Exactly. And you have the luxury of having the certainty of Bitcoin's supply schedule, the pace at which blocks will be produced due to the difficulty adjustment, and you can always check in on the code base by going to GitHub and making sure developers aren't fucking with your money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I mean, we both know that. That's why we're here. What do we get?
I have a good one. I mean, big. the reason we didn't announce the price today, which is hovering around 6,400, is
no, it's at 62 something.
Oh shit! So now we can't. Well, Bitcoin volatility was at like an all-time low this weekend. Ever
6,262. I believe we're. What was our bet? Was it 6,625 or 6,625? Okay.
Bitfinex prices.
You still owe me. You still owe me a steak at this point in time, and Murad.
Yeah, I mean, joke's on you guys. Like now I get dinner.
No, you got to buy us dinner.
I know, but I still get to have it with you guys. That's what's important.
That's what it's all about. The memories you make along the way. speaking of memories, this next topic has me flashing back to Mint Pal memories. Maple Exchange just did a full on.
No, it's not called Maple Exchange. It's called Maple Change.
Maple Change.
Maple Change the Exchange.
Maple Change the Exchange. Classic exit scam.
It was definitely an exit scam, and like almost positive, because you don't like actually. They deleted everything. They deleted their whole social media account. So this is an exchange that's supposedly based in Canada. That's relatively new. That I never heard of. Marty never heard of.
Never
until this weekend when they sent out a tweet saying they got hacked, saying no one was going to get their money back, and then they proceeded to delete all of their social media accounts and their website.
Yeah, and their last tweet was like, we have to shut everything down, including our Twitter, Facebook, and all of our social
Discord,
media.
Discord, their Telegram.
Deleted it all. If you don't own your keys, you don't own your Bitcoin.
Yeah, this is just another time to remind you that trusted third parties are security holes.
Do you know how much was taken?
I mean, they had like no volume. I probably like less than 1,000 Bitcoin.
It's still a lot.
But there were people complaining about it on Twitter, so it's still people, you know, that got fucked.
Yeah, be careful, people.
It's hard for me to tell anything because they deleted all their shit. But I got a screenshot in there that I tweeted out.
Bitstein warned us: there's scammers everywhere. They're coming for your bitcoins. Make sure you got them in your pockets.
What else do we have here?
That's what I'm pulling up right now.
Zcash had their sapling upgrade.
Yeah, that happened pretty quietly and uneventfully.
It's like basically the same thing we talked about last week with bulletproofs and confidential transactions.
Mm-hmm.
Zcash is shielded addresses. The way they do it is very computationally heavy. It's hard to process. So this upgrade makes it more efficient. As Monero's made confidential transactions more efficient. So it's just another case where we have these cutting edge technologies being experimented on the altcoins, and then we can take it from there. We can see how it works out. Oh, the other interesting thing about Zcash is because they have their Snarks implementation, which requires a trusted setup, there's an inflation worry with the trusted setup. So with this hard fork, which is a mandatory hard fork, which was pushed through by the Zcash Foundation, which is based in the United States and has rich investors in the United States, is forcing everyone that has money in a shielded address to upgrade. When you upgrade to the new efficient shielded address, you have to go through a transparent address first, so it'll audit the entire supply when you're processing.
What the fuck?
You can wait to do it, but...
What?
Yeah, that's what they're doing, to audit, because, I mean, obviously, they're not even positive that... I guess maybe it'll to calm the markets, but I guess...
How can you make people dox themselves like that?
Well, they're saying... If you do it properly, presumably there shouldn't be any privacy leak.
Okay.
Highly
questionable.
Yeah. Zcash has a questionably small anonymity set because most people don't use the shielded protected addresses.
Mm-hmm.
This part of the reason for this upgrade is because it'll be more efficient to use the shielded addresses. More people presumably will. You know, Zuku has said that he wants to make it fully anonymous at some point, where it's just mandatory everyone uses shielded, so they need to be more efficient. Who knows if that would actually happen, but he's said it in the past, amongst other things. So if you do it right, and the trusted setup wasn't compromised, then the privacy probably wouldn't be degraded much. Because you would go, each UTXO would go to an individual transparent address, would go to an individual new shielded address.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposedly going to release a tool that will let you do it in a privacy conscious way.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show what we were talking about last week, where you try and find a balance here between more privacy, more fungibility, but being able to audit the supply at the same time.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting quandary, and Zcash is doing the dutiful service of testing that out for us. So thank you, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to say thank you, but...
It's pretty uneventful.
Yeah.
Sapling got launched, or what would you say, merged in, and
nothing has blown up yet.
Price hasn't moved. Nothing's blown up.
Oh, the other, in terms of altcoin news, in 2 days there's going to be the Sia fork, where they fuck over all the miners of their network, and I'm pretty excited to watch that go down.
How do you think that's going to go?
I don't know. I mean, the miners that have these ASICs have literally zero reason to follow along on the fork. And what's interesting is they updated a bunch of things. Sia Tech did, or Nebulous, or whoever the actual corporate entity that does Sia Dev. And they, in their defense, they released two updated softwares, one that bricks all the miners' hardware and one that doesn't, but is still updated.
Interesting.
So, first of all, it'd be funny if the second option actually just like fucked those miners too, like it didn't work. But if like 70% of their network is using their current hardware, that's all going to get forked out. Then they're just going to run, you know, there's going to probably be two competing chains. I don't see, at least in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
But no matter what, long term, I think they've fucked themselves, but we shall see.
Yeah. It'll
be interesting to watch.
Not really excited about that.
But this is another perfect example with Gap. So, like, my whole argument against Sia is don't become too centralized, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if a terrorist is storing files on the Sia network, or if someone's distributing child porn on the Sia network? Like, Howard Dean's going to be like, let's drag these people into the fucking courthouse.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
Reduce your tax service, freaks. Trusted third parties. Get rid of them. Or ridicule companies and projects until they do. What do we got up next here? We got Lightning Hack Day, Chain Code Residency Week. A big day for your, big week for your boy, just because I had so much talent come through the studio. A lot of great conversations.
Those pods are great.
They're
fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
Go back and listen to, if you haven't already, listen to the two pods Marty dropped and one's still coming.
Two pods, one coming, recording another right after this, too. So your boy doesn't stop. Uncle Marty's here to provide.
You better not drink in the next one. Are you going to drink in the next one?
I don't think so. I think Pierre will be okay with withholding from alcohol consumption as well.
There you go. Until McAllen sponsors us.
Yeah. I guess the one thing that came out, there was a huge chain code at the residency where they did a boot camp with accepted participants, and they each built something and demoed it on Friday, and then Fulmo, which has been organizing Lightning Hack Days around the world, held one in the financial district over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and the momentum from the chain code residency apparently sort of rushed into that hackathon. A lot of cool projects and a lot of cool ideas we're getting proof of concepted out, I guess you could say. I don't know if that's a term, but whatever. What I found most interesting, somebody listened to me and Lightning Koala's podcast and made like a really cool proof of concept for a video game where you put Satoshis into a channel and you fight somebody on Street Fighter, and the guy who wins, like with the most net punches at the end, wins the Satoshis in the channel.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
They should make all the coin op games.
Right? That's, I mean, and to me, it was like crazy insane that dude just listened to our podcast and had like a proof of concept up, and I think it was less than 24 hours. Made me feel good. At least I'm inciting ideas in people's minds.
You get like a 10% credit on it?
I don't think so. I'm going to give this one out to the world.
Such a philanthropist.
Yeah, so I don't know. Do you have anything to say on that? Do you see anything in particular? That's what I'm excited to talk with Pierre about, is his Excel plugin, which I think is pretty dope.
Yeah, no, that plugin seemed pretty cool. No, I was actually pretty bad about it this weekend. Didn't really pay attention. I was hoping your interview with Justin, he was about to tell us all about it, and then you guys just got completely sidetracked. I don't know where you went.
He got to it by the end. I don't know how far in you are.
Okay, it was a long one. It was an epic.
It was like a 2.5 hour guy.
Yeah, and you ninja launched it on Friday. I didn't even know it existed till today.
Yeah, I had to ninja launch it. It was the vibes were high after that recording.
I like it.
And I'm lazy and just wanted to post it and not edit it at all.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the no edit. We do that here at Rabbit Hole as well.
It's keeps you in check.
Yeah, it's basically like a live pod feel without being live.
Yeah. Should we do? I don't know if we should do live.
No, it's close enough.
Yeah. Lightning Hack Week seemed cool. I'm excited to see all these ideas get brought into fruition. And
it was a pretty big turnout, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for the middle of the bear market. I don't know numbers exactly, but it would seem from Twitter that there was a huge turnout.
Yeah, exactly. That's badass.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Very good sign.
Devs seem really excited in general about Lightning.
Yeah, and it seems like
a lot of fun with it.
I mean, that's what I was astonished about, again, going back to that proof of concept that that listener made. Shout out if you're listening right now. Shout out for making that Mandel Duck, I believe. Like the quickness with which you can develop on top of it and have that shit ready to go, like within 24 hours, was like, whoa. Like, you can actually build on this pretty quickly.
Yeah, the trick is handling the Street Fighter lawsuit afterwards. That's the time-consuming part.
Yeah, that'll...
So how about talking about lawsuits? We should definitely talk about IDEX blocking New York IPs.
Let's jump into it. I don't really know too much about the story. You posted it.
IDEX is the biggest so-called decentralized exchange on
Ethereum, right?
Ethereum. I'm pretty sure it's the number one dApp.
Yes, I believe so.
At least it usually is. It fluctuates. And as a lot of us have said, it is not actually a decentralized exchange. They have various centralized components to it, including choosing which coins to list. And they have to, because they're centralized, they have to comply with the Bit license, and they're blocking New York IP addresses. So, first of all, they're just doing lip service to the actual Bit license, because anyone who knows what they're doing can just easily download a VPN and get around any IP address blocks. They just pretend they're not from New York. But it shows the whole point of decentralized exchanges is to end around regulations and end around having a central point of failure that governments can attack in the first place. So I really don't understand. The only reason this exchange exists from as a centralized entity is because they want to extract
a fee,
return on investment. Yeah,
yeah.
They just want to extract an ROI, and it defeats the whole point of DEXs. And I think that DEXs that do that will fail over time.
Well, this
you don't
this
have
seems
the benefits of a centralized exchange, and you don't have the benefits of a decentralized exchange. So why would you use the quasi middle thing?
Well, this headline seems like it is an abject failure if they have to cut off IP addresses. Not really decentralized at all.
Yeah, exactly. It's not an unstoppable application.
Hey.
Quite stoppable.
Hey. Hey, we don't shit on marketing campaigns, okay? We don't do that here.
Okay, deal.
I'm just kidding. I'm like starving right now. I got to get a workout on today. I've been hitting the bike a lot. Got like an hour bike in, and now like the hunger after the ride is hitting me.
If you keep this up though, you might no longer be classified a beefy Bitcoin boy.
No, I'm going to keep it lean. I'm going to keep it lean and beefy. Don't worry. I'm eating my protein
lean
on the back
beefy,
end.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. So the IDEX, what else is in the news? It's a pretty slow news week.
Yeah, it's kind of slow. Bitcoin's had its historically... We've had low volatility periods before. I posted a historical chart. Like, this is not out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But volatility has been extremely low, at least until today.
Yeah.
Been a little bit.
Yeah, Tor de Meester was tweeting that he wishes there was, like, a VIX option that you can buy for Bitcoin volatility.
Gambler's going to gamble.
Right. Maybe in the future.
There will be. There'll be everything.
Yeah, that's actually...
Everything that's available under the sun. Oh, that's what I want to talk about. Wrapped BTC.
We got oh, my God.
We got a stable coin, but instead of being backed by that shitty fiat, it's backed by...
Bitcoin.
The crypto reserve asset.
How does this work? Do you know?
Yeah, it's actually extremely simple concept that is a perfect fit for BitGo. So BitGo already custodies all this shit for everyone,
mm-hmm.
for a ton of people. Kraken, Bitstamp, you know, all these different exchanges they're custodying for. So they just hold Bitcoin in an address, and every time they put a Bitcoin in that address, they add a token of WBTC, and then the token is available on Ethereum, and they have... So it's exactly the same thing as like a Tether, but it's really hard to prove you have US dollars. But with Bitcoin, you can just sign a message and easily prove your reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can verify it around the world.
It seems like this is confirming Bitcoin as a reserve asset of this space, of this market.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about IDEX, right? And like most pairs in this industry, most altcoin pairs, their highest volume is with Bitcoin. And these DEXs had two major shortcomings. They couldn't support Bitcoin, and they couldn't support US dollars, right? So that's where you get the wrapped USD products and the wrapped Bitcoin products to allow the DEXs to compete. And like, so it is a trusted third party. You're trusting BitGo. You're trusting them a little bit less than the fiat-backed ones, yeah. because you have proofed reserves. But like, if you're using a centralized exchange, if you're using Kraken, you're trusting BitGo with your Bitcoin too. You know, they're holding all the Bitcoin on Kraken, so.
Yeah, it's like an exotic marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I...
Just after I said we don't shit on marketing.
That is true. You did just say it. I could see BitGo doing this in a million different combinations, just saturate the market. It's like relatively easy for them to start each individual one up. You know, if EOS needs a wrapped Bitcoin product, then you put a wrapped Bitcoin product on EOS. And then if EOS wants a wrapped Ethereum product, then you throw a wrapped Ethereum product there and, you know, wrapped EOS on Ethereum. And you could just go to fucking town with all the different wrapped bullshits.
Turtles all the way down.
Yeah, rappers. But they can make a nice little fee off of it or whatever. I don't know.
I'm sure they will.
I would never use, but I also say that you shouldn't use... keep a lot of money on centralized exchanges.
As we say, you don't want to get maple changed.
You don't. The famous saying.
You don't want to get maple changed. Trying to think what else we could talk about. Pertinent in the news.
Bitstamp got bought by a rich Korean fella.
Oh, yeah. That's actually good.
Who has he has 83% ownership in Corbit, the Korean exchange, already. And so he bought it through a Belgian subsidiary.
Good for Bitstamp.
And Kodrick sold the top because the deal was closed in December.
Boss, wait. And it took why'd it take them?
Regulations and bullshit.
Mm. Good for Bitstamp.
Yeah, and he still owns 10% and he's going to be CEO still.
Okay. One of the stalwarts of the industry.
Yeah, 2011.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Nice exit for Pantera, too.
Did they have a big stake in Bitstamp?
Yeah, I remember they... I think they had a key. They were a key element of when Bitstamp got hacked in 2015.
They fronted a lot of that, didn't they?
Yeah, they like flew the whole team into California and they like rewrote everything from scratch and put it on AWS and then fronted the whole amount that was lost.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, pretty badass. And then they sold it. Oh, undisclosed price. We don't know the price. Rumor was $400 million, is what someone said.
Shit.
Yeah, back then it was valued at like 30 or something. 40.
Damn. Good for Bitstamp.
Yeah.
They've been my exchange that I use to like reference price for most of my time at Bitcoin. I don't know why. I just always choose Bitstamp on TradeBlock.
But they were like the original reputable price.
Yeah.
When you had all the Mt. Gox fiascos going on, you didn't really know what was going on Bitfinex or BTCe. You know, it was like Bitstamp. Like, if I put my head to it, I could probably cash out there if I wanted
to. So good news in the industry in this bear market.
You do. Every time you read the price for the pod, you read the Bitstamp price.
Yeah.
And it's not even a top 10 exchange anymore, I don't think.
It's nostalgia. Let's see what else we got up here. What are we talking about?
It was a good out for them because they were like sandwiched. They weren't killing it in the regulated market. And the unregulated market, like the Bitfinex, Binance, BitMEX, was killing them on the other side. It's time to get out.
Yeah.
Take the win.
Good exit. That's all I got this week, man. Yeah, I'm like brain dead right now.
It's a slow news week. You had some good pods, which was fantastic.
Yeah, go check those out, freaks. Let me know what you think.
Local Bitcoin's volume was really promising. Murad called another year long of the bear market. He came out of his hole and he saw his shadow. And
And warned Twitter.
And ran away. And Bitcoin keeps trucking on.
Still producing blocks. Last I checked. Haven't checked today, though.
It's still producing blocks. All hell would be breaking loose if it wasn't.
No, I know. Yeah, parting note. Had a good steak dinner last night. Nice New York strip. With a couple friends. Felt good.
There you go.
It's all you need in life. Good food, good friends.
Got to consume your beef. Yeah, just... I don't know. I've noticed that people on Twitter are like bored and just going after each other, and it's getting like really...
I've been trying to step back. I checked my Twitter analytics dashboard. My tweets, tweet pace has fallen dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, this is... We're starting to enter like the apathetic, angry stage.
Yeah.
Of the cycle. And just remember why we're all really here. You know, we're here because when there's no other option, there is Bitcoin. And it's the ultimate check on unbridled power. And we need to foster this and expand it, and attacking each other over bullshit.
Yeah,
bullshit is just completely...
We should be consolidating the narrative right now. Sharpening
consolidate
it.
The narrative.
Consolidate and sharpen.
Prepare the bag.
Prepare the bags.
And get ready for the next bull run, because it's going to fucking...
Rip some faces off.
It's going to...
This is not investment advice. It could also...
Nothing is investment advice. It
could also blow up in our faces and go to zero.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're young, it's a great strategy, because it's either a magnificent fucking success, or...
It was something cool to be a part of for a little bit.
We met great people along the way.
Yeah. The old saying we dropped earlier. It's about the people you meet. I met a pretty cool guy here. That's all we have to say this week. Peace and love, freaks.